certainly we thank God for blessing us along the way, and thank you for your prayers and your concerns while we were away. Thank the brothers who spoke in our stead while we were gone, Brother James, Brother Montgomery. Certainly we thank God for them in filling our shoes while we were away. As I said, we enjoyed ourselves so much so until we're looking forward to the next time that we can be away. This morning, I want to share with us a lesson entitled, Where is Your Treasure? Where is Your Treasure? I want to direct my lesson toward the young people today, but especially, of course, to all of us, because I guess all of us are young at heart. That's something good for all of us, but this being the fifth Sunday, certainly we want to channel it and say some things that would be helpful to our young people. And if we help the young, then I know we can help the old. Where is your treasure? Our Lord, in the Sermon on the Mount, that starts in chapter 5, but particularly in this particular chapter, chapter 6, that Brother J.T. read the scripture text from, he exhorts his disciples not to get caught up in the outward show and the outward appearances in their devotion to God. Their alms deeds, their prayers, their fasting, all needed to be done in the proper spirit. To have the proper relationship with God, one's heart must be in the right place. It must be in tune with the will of the Word of God. It's little wonder then that when David realized his sinful condition and confessed of his erring way, he said in Psalms 51 and verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So if we are to go in to please God, our hearts must be right. Jesus says in the scripture text that was read in so many words in verse number 21, that if I want to know where my heart is, just find my treasure. You notice what he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if I can locate my treasure, then I can locate my heart. That which we really love, that which we attach ourselves to, that which we pursue fervently, becomes our treasure. And our heart will go right along with our treasure. So we ask the question this morning, where is your treasure? There are a few things I want to question us on this morning. And I want us to honestly answer the question. Then I want to close out by saying where our treasure should be. Number one this morning, young people and all of us, is your treasure in the praise of your peers or in the praise of men? In other words, are you looking forward to what your peers have to say? Whether your peers are going to say good things about you, whether your peers are going to praise you, are you really looking forward to what God says? So the question needs to be answered then, is your treasure in the praise of your peers? We all can learn a great lesson from the scribes and the Pharisees that were described in Matthew chapter 6. The first four verses would be good enough for us to consider. Well, Jesus says, as he talks to his disciples here on the mountain, he says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of who? Men. They are doing these things, he says. They are good things to do. But the reason why they are doing these things, sounding their trumpets, is because they want the praise from their peers. The praise of men. So as you do good deeds, do it to please God and not to please men. If men are pleased, so be it. But the number one person that you want to please is God in your life. He goes on and says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. If you're doing something just to please your peers, Jesus says, you're going to get your reward from your peers. There's no eternal rewards that will come from God when you're doing something just to please your peers. So again then, if you want to know where your treasure is, then I'd rather if you want to know where your heart is, just find your treasure. If your treasure is in pleasing your peers, that's where your heart is. That's what you're going to pursue after. Doing everything that you can to please those around you. He goes on and says, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Not only can you learn a lesson from the scribes and the Pharisees who did things just to be seen of men, but you can also learn, and we can learn a lesson from the chief rulers in John chapter 12. The Bible says in verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, if you go back a few verses just before there, you'll find that the Bible says, though Jesus did mighty, wonderful miracles, yet they believed him not. And then we get down here and say, well, there were some who did believe, but the multitude of people did not believe in Jesus, even though he did mighty, wonderful miracles among them. But it says in this verse, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Again, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Young people, and all of us, how many times, and I hope it hasn't been many times, but I'm just asking this question this way, how many times have we known to do the right thing, but because of our peers, we chose to do the wrong thing? Because if we had done the right thing, they were not going to praise us for it. They were going to talk us down, if you will. They were going to say, you're chicken. But if you know to do the right thing, you should always do the right thing. These chief rulers, they believed on Jesus. They knew it was the right thing to confess him. But because they were concerned about their peers, the praise of men, they were concerned about being excluded, if you will, from the synagogue, they chose not to confess him. They chose not to do the right thing. Therefore, they did not reap any spiritual benefit. I want to say to you again that we need to be about the business of pleasing God. We need to be about the business of being concerned about what God thinks of us rather than what our buddies and our friends think of us. So I ask the question, and we should ask the question, is my treasure in pleasing my peers? And because of the fact that these rulers did not confess Jesus, and because many times we know to do right, but because we are concerned about those about us, we choose to do wrong, we'll end up rejecting Christ. So down in verse 48 of John chapter 12, Jesus says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word as one that judges him. For the words that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day." Be careful about pleasing your peers. Be careful about pleasing men. Be careful about having your treasure in pleasing men and your peers. Because in so doing, you'll reject Christ. And we don't want to reject Christ, because we want Christ to say to us in the last day, "Well done." As I say so many times, he'll never say "well done" until we do well. Doing well meaning to do what we know is right according to the Word of God. So your Bible classes have taught you. Your parents have taught you. The preacher has taught you. The elders have taught you. The deacons have taught you. Those who have your best interests at heart have taught you. We have encouraged one another to do the right thing according to the will of God. So do that if you will. And you can be sure that you will receive praise from God. Don't allow your treasure to be in pleasing other folks. Jesus says again, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And remember I said our hearts need to be in tune with God. And the only way our hearts can be in tune with God is to be in tune with His Word. In other words, we have to do what God expects us to do. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Another question we need to ask ourselves this morning, is our treasure in ourselves? Sometimes our treasure can be in ourselves. That's the wrong place to put our treasure. Sometimes, the Bible says, people can think too highly of themselves than they ought to think. Look at what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Should we think of ourselves in a positive way? Yes. The operative word is more highly than we ought to think. Sometimes we can think too high. We can put ourselves above everybody else and say, "You are nothing, but I'm what's really going on. You need to look up to me." So Paul says again, "I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." What happens when a person thinks more highly of himself or herself than they ought to think? It destroys the ability to be humble. When we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, it's hard to be humble. And if we're not humble, we'll never please God. We've got to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. So it's hard to be humble when I'm thinking that I'm way up here. The Bible says this about this Pharisee. We know the story, don't we? In Luke chapter 18, the Bible says two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and one a publican. And notice how the publican, or rather the Pharisee, begins his prayer. The Bible says this, that he stood and prayed thus with himself. Look at him now. "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are." What? You're thinking more highly of yourself, Mr. Pharisee, than you ought to think. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not as other men are. And then he begins to elaborate. Extortionists. I'm not an extortioner. Unjust. I'm not unjust. Adulterer. I'm not an adulterer. Even as this publican. The publican was despised. They were looked down on. Because many of them, they charged folks. Publican was tax collector. They charged folks more than what they were supposed to. So they abused their privilege, their office. So he says, I'm not these things, and I'm not like this publican. Well, Mr. Pharisee, I got news for you. You may not be an extortioner. You may not be one who is unjust. You may not be one who commits adultery. You may not be like this publican, but you got something wrong with you. Something is wrong with you. All of us this morning got something wrong with us. Otherwise, the Bible is a lie. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So this Pharisee was thinking more highly of himself than he ought to think. Young people, again, don't fall into the category of thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Just because you may have an extra pair of shoes that somebody else don't have. Just because you make a better grade than somebody else may. Just because maybe you're able to drive a better car than somebody else drives. But you got something still wrong with you. Again, because all of us have flaws. So don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Otherwise, you'll find yourself putting other folks down. The publican, the Bible says, stood afar off. You know the picture that that gives me, Brother Willie? As this Pharisee, that he, when he went up to the temple to pray, that he went up front somewhere where he could, where everybody could see him. So we just talked about in Matthew chapter 6, how they would go into the corners and in the synagogue, and they would pray these prayers just to be seen of men, using vain repetitions and all of this kind of stuff. They want to be seen. This publican looked like he just got just inside the temple. Stood afar off. He didn't want to make a scene, but he just stood far off. Sometimes, folks, we make a scene and we all know to make a scene. Do what we need to do. Give God the praise. And don't worry about whether anybody see you, whether anybody hear you, whether anybody know about what you've done. As a matter of fact, again, Jesus says when these folks were doing their alms deed, they were sounding the trumpet. I helped this person. I helped that person. That's good. But you don't have to tell anybody if you help somebody. Sometimes folks don't want you to tell that you helped them anyway. So you don't have to make a scene. You can be just like this publican. Do your good deeds standing afar off. What's my point? My point again is that we should never think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Because when we do that, it's hard to be humble. So is our treasure in ourselves? If it's in ourselves, of course, that's where our heart is. So we should not make that mistake. Sometimes, people make that mistake of thinking more highly of themselves than we ought to think. I read about a man who was a king who thought more highly of himself than he ought to think. Acts chapter 12. Y'all remember a king named Herod? He gave a great speech, and the folks says, this is not a man, this is the voice of God. And the Bible says immediately, he gave up the ghost, meaning he died, and the worms ate him up. And the reason why the Bible says, well, let's put that up there, and let's see the reason why this happened. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12, beginning at verse number 18, going all the way down to verse number 23, but go all the way down to verse number 21. Look at what the Bible says here. The Bible says, and upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel. He was dressed up. Oh, he was dressed up. Sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. That's the speech. Gave a great speech unto them. And verse number 22 says, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And verse 23 says this, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. Isn't that amazing? He made this great speech. Nothing wrong with the speech, perhaps. But the thing that was wrong was that he didn't give God the glory. He turned it all to himself. Again, thinking more highly than he ought to think. Who gave him the ability to use all of those whatever words he used in that oration, in that speech? God gave him that ability. So I want to say to anybody that whenever we do anything, always give God the glory. Because it is He that gives us the ability, the power to do whatever we do. Don't get caught up in this thing about when folks give you all of these accolades. Nothing wrong with the accolades. But just say all praise and glory go to God and mean it. Don't just use words, mean it. That I wouldn't be able to do anything if it were not for God. So Herod made a mistake. He didn't give the glory to God. Where was his treasure? In himself. He prided himself in doing what he did. We need to be very careful in thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. So I say to us again, we need to beware lest pride overtake us. We can easily be guilty of shining the spotlight on ourselves. You ever talk to somebody and they go into conversation and before the conversation ends, it always turned to them. It's all about them. They start out about talking about something else, but it eventually is going to get back to them. I'm this, I'm that, I've done this, I've done that. You know what they're doing? They got their heart in the wrong place because their treasure is in them. So we need to be careful then, lest we fall into the same category. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 10, the first part of it. He says, I am that I am is all by the grace of God. Let's give God the credit. Let's give God the credit. So the question should be asked then this morning again, is my treasure in myself? Make sure that our treasure is not in ourselves. Then thirdly, the question needs to be asked, is my treasure in the things of this world? You know, this world has so many things to offer. But we need to be careful that we don't place our treasure in the things of this world. Because again, wherever the treasure is, that's where the heart is. And if the heart is in the wrong place, it'll never be in tune with God. And if it's not in tune with God, we'll never please God. The prodigal son made this mistake. We call him the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. The Bible says in verse number 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, the Bible says, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. That's worldly living. Wasted his substance. Nothing wrong with him going into the far country. But when he got there, the Bible says, he wasted his substance in riotous living, in worldly living. He got caught up into the things of this world. And whenever you get caught up in the things of this world, you're in trouble with God. Your treasure is in the wrong place. He ended up in a lost state. Ended up, if you will, working for a man in the hog pen. And he was about to eat the food that he was feeding the pigs. Thank God he came to himself, Brother Travis. And he says, "My father, I'm going back to my father. His servants there, he have more bread than enough. I'm going back." And when he went back, the father, of course, welcomed him back. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 24, the father says, "For this is my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." He was lost not only physically, but he was lost spiritually, because he has wasted his substance in worldly or in riotous living. Why was he lost also spiritually? Because the Bible tells us that we are not to get caught up into the things of this world. Now, when we do something that the Bible says we shouldn't do, that means we are separating ourselves from the love of God, from the will of God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life," he says, "it is not of the Father, but it is of the world." Anything that's not of the Father is not good for us, brothers and sisters. It's not good for us if it's not of the Father. And then he goes on in the next verse and he says, "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." What is he talking about? Have your treasure in the right place. Because again, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. So he says, the world is going to pass away and the lust thereof. But if you do the will of God, you abide forever. Do you want to pass away into everlasting damnation? Or do you want to abide with God forever? I know what you want to do. You want to abide with God forever. Therefore then, don't get caught up in the deception of the things of this world. Because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be also. The things of this world, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, they sound good, they look good, they feel good, they even taste good. But you must remember, everything that's good to you is not necessarily good for you. Eve found that out in Genesis chapter 3. Look at what the Bible says there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," that looked like taste there to me, doesn't it? You were thinking about how it tastes. "It looked good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye." It looked good looking at it. Evidently, whatever fruit it was a beautiful fruit. He says, it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took up the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it to her husband, and he did eat. And we all know what happened on it. That's why we're in the fix we're in today, because of what happened back there. It looked good to her, but it wasn't good for her. She got caught up, if you will, in the things of this world. I would say to us this morning, make sure we don't get caught up in the things of this world. Because if you get caught up in the things of the world, that's where your treasure is. And if your treasure is in this world, that's where your heart's going to be. But the world is going to pass away, the scripture says. And the lust thereof. The only one that's going to abide forever is the one that do the will of God. So these three questions that I posed this morning: is your treasure in the praise of your peers? Is your treasure in the things of this world that I've just talked about? And is your treasure in yourself? That's a bad place. Those are bad places to have your treasure. Where should you have your treasure? Well, it should be obvious where we should have our treasure. We should have our treasure in the things of God. That's where our treasure needs to be. Because again, we want our heart to line up, to be in tune with God, to be in tune with the will of God. So our treasure then should be in the things of God. Look at what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things, he says, which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Christ is where God is. So he says now, if you're risen with Christ, if you're a child of God, if you've been baptized into the body of Christ, then you need to be seeking those things which are above. Don't seek the praise of men and your peers, because when you do that, you're going to get your reward from whatever you're seeking. Your reward going to come from there. Don't get wrapped up in the pleasure or the treasure of yourself. Because, again, you notice what happened to the Pharisee. He exalted himself, but the Bible says he was abased. He was brought down. So if you're seeking treasure in yourself, God is going to bring you down, and especially in the last day, he's going to bring you down. And down means down, down into hell in the last day. And if you're seeking your treasure in this world, the world is going to pass away. We've established that, haven't we? So it makes sense. It just makes sense. Common sense tells us that we need to put our treasure somewhere else. Our treasure needs to be in the things of God. So he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then verse number 2, he says this, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Our treasure needs to be in things above, in the things of God. That's why Jesus said in the scripture that J.T. read, lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moth does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But he said, rather lay up your treasures where? In heaven. That's what he's talking about here. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. You see, the things that will advance the kingdom of God, which is the church, are the things of God. The things of this world won't advance the kingdom of God. It has to be the things of God. Anything else will be a hindrance. Peter found this out not long after Jesus had promised to build his church in Matthew 16. Jesus had not long got through talking to his apostles about his building the church. Peter made the confession that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not long after that, notice what happened. The Bible says this in Matthew 16 and verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and the Bible says, be killed and be raised again the third day. Now notice what Peter does. The next verse says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And the next passage says this, but he turned, that is Jesus, he turned unto Peter, get thee behind me, who? Satan. Peter was an apostle. He calls him Satan. Why does he call him Satan? Because he has his treasure somewhere else. The Bible says, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest a man, not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, these three questions that I've already dealt with, they all deal with and pertain to things that be of men. Praise of your peers, looking to yourself, all of that has to do with things of men. He says, Peter, you get behind me. You're Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You're hindering my call. You saying to me, don't go to Jerusalem. All of this stuff ain't supposed to happen to you. You're not going to be killed. He says, our savor is not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Anything that is against the will of God. It was the will of God that Jesus go to Jerusalem and be killed. That was God's will. Peter wanted to jump in between God's will. Anything that hinders the will of God is an offense. That's why we need to, again, keep seeking things that are of God. Make sure our treasure is in the things of God. Because if our treasure is not in the things of God, we become an offense. We become an offense to God. And you don't want to become an offense to God. Because I don't care how big of an offensive tackle you may be, God can move you out of the way. In the last day, He'll move you out of the way. And He'll move you to what you don't, to where, I should say, you don't want to go. And that's lost in hell. So you don't want to become an offense to God. So anytime our treasure is in something else other than the things of God, we are displeasing God. We are God's offense. We are a hindrance to the cause of God. But I tell you, Paul had his focus in the right place. He was focused on God and focused on Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says as we close this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul had his focus, had his mind set in the right direction. He had his treasure in the right place. Remember, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Jesus said that. For wherever your treasure is, that shall your heart be also. So as I close this morning, only the things of God will last. So let us put all of our time, put all of our energy, put all of our effort in treasuring those things that be of God. And as one of the verses and the song that we sing sometimes, hold to God, some change in hand goes, covet not this world's vain riches. Which the song says, that so rapidly decays. Seek to gain the heavenly treasure, for they'll never pass away. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure this morning, young people? Where is your treasure this morning, older people? Where is our treasure this morning? Let's make sure our treasure is on things of God and not things of this life. Don't put it in the praise of your peers. Don't put it, in yourself. Don't put the treasure in the things of this world. All of those things will take your heart in the wrong direction. Make sure your heart, make sure your treasure is in the things of God, the will of God. If you're here then this morning, and you're subject to the call of the invitation. You may not be a member of the body of Christ. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, I want to challenge you this morning, encourage you this morning, beg you this morning to put your treasure in the right place. Your treasure needs to be in the things that are of God. God wants everybody to be members of the body of Christ. God wants everybody to be saved. But God saves everybody in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church of Christ. As I said already, Jesus promised to build his church. Matthew 16 and verse 18. He describes the church as being the body. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. He describes that body as being one. Ephesians 4 and verse number 4. And he says that he wants everybody to be members of the same body. Ephesians 3 and verse number 6. Why? Because he's going to save the body. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. Your treasure then needs to be in the things of God. And the church comprise the thing of God. Are you a member of the church that you can read about in the New Testament? If you're not, then I want to encourage you to do that. How do you do that? By believing, by hearing and believing the gospel, Acts 15, 7. Repenting of your past sins, Luke 13, 3. Confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, Matthew 10, and verse 32. And by being baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2, and verse 38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Become a member of his church, and then keep your mind set on things that are above. Stop messing around with the things of this world, because that takes the treasure in the wrong direction. Because wherever the treasure goes, that's where your heart's going. Keep your heart, keep your treasure in the things of God. In other words, be faithful to the Lord unto death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. If you already remember the body of Christ, but as we've gone through this lesson this morning, maybe you realize that your treasure is in the wrong place. Well, I want to tell you this morning that you can get it back in the right place by putting it in the things of God. So if you're an offense to God, if you're doing something contrary to the will of God, then repent of that, turn away from that. If you need to confess it, do that this morning. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever you need this morning to make sure that your treasure is in the right place, I encourage you to come and let it be known. While we're standing now, while we're singing.